From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. Southwest Florida property owners have their TRIM, or Truth in Millage, notices. Those notices estimate property taxes to be paid based on assessed value, but many people don't realize they can argue those values. The time to contest those assessments is quickly coming to a close. We'll take a look at the process and what property owners considering an appeal need to know. Plus, PBS NewsHour senior correspondent Ray Suarez joins us for a look inside his book, Latino Americans, chronicling 500 years of Latino history in the U.S. that's largely overlooked in our school history classes. The book is a companion to a PBS documentary miniseries premiering this month. We'll explore the rich history and contributions of Latino Americans, especially in Florida. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. The history and contributions of Latinos in the U.S. is long and rich, but is often overlooked in our school curriculums. Later in today's show, we'll explore that history with PBS senior correspondent Ray Suarez. He's authored the book Latino Americans, The 500-Year Legacy That Shaped a Nation. The book serves as a companion to a PBS documentary miniseries premiering this month. Suarez joins WGCU's Amy Tardiff in about half an hour. But first, Southwest Florida property owners received their TRIM notices last month. The notices give owners an estimate of how much in property taxes they can pay or they have to pay based on the property's assessed value. By and large, the county property appraiser's assessment is correct. But what can property owners do if they feel their TRIM notice is not correct? With a deadline to file an appeal fast approaching, we'll explore how that process works, as well as recent local trends in 2013 petitions and tax roll estimates. Joining me now is Lee County property appraiser Ken Wilkinson. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is real estate attorney Mike Hagan. He operates the Fort Myers-based Hagan Law Firm. Mike Hagan, welcome to the program.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
And if you're a residential or commercial property owner scratching your head about something on your TRIM notice, give us a call with your comments or questions. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or email gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And first of all, Ken Wilkinson, tell us what these TRIM notices are that went out to property owners last month.
Well, it's an annual process, John, and in our opinion, I think it's the most accountable form of government we have. There's not another office, local, state, or federal, that annually, in our situation, we mail a personal letter to 685,000 plus or minus property owners in our county. We're the fourth largest county in Florida. Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and then Lee as just separate ownership. So every owner of property in our county, and it's statewide, all the counties do it, mm-hmm. It's by law, will get a letter from us telling them what to expect in their property taxes, assuming certain things occur, which is that the value is upheld, that the different taxing authorities don't raise the millage over what they said they would, they can lower it. So again, there's not another office that does that. It gives you an opportunity for 25 days. We always suggest you call us first so that we can explain it to you. Most people call, they're calling about their taxes, and in truth, we don't do the taxes, we do the value. That's what we have to defend. And it is an excellent process. If you're not happy or satisfied with our explanation, then you have the ability to come in and sit down with us within that 25-day period. If you're still unhappy with that situation and feel that the value is in excess of market value, you have the opportunity another. Again, no other office does it, that you can actually file a petition and get an independent hearing before an independent property appraiser or an attorney if it's a legal question.
And the estimated tax amount in a TRIM notice, you know, as you mentioned, it could change based on county government if they adjust the millage rate. But by and large, it's the assessed
value. They can't raise from what we tell them because they've given us their estimate of the millage they're going to use. They can't raise that. But they could lower it. And we always like to point out that on that TRIM notice, we will also tell you when those different taxing authorities – we have 91 in Lee County, more than any county, that can set a millage rate. Mm-hmm. 7 or 8 will affect any one property. Well, this notice will tell you when those who spend the money meet to adopt that millage. And if you have it – if you're satisfied or whether you are or not, but if you're not happy with the taxes, that's really where you need to go to get answers to their budgets.
Understood. Okay. And what about the assessed value of a property? Mm-hmm. What factors go into calculating that? I mean, obviously property size.
Well, you don't have enough time to go into the appraisal process
right.
as well.
Yeah.
But it's our responsibility. And essentially, it's all covered under the Florida statute. It's called the first Nate criteria that we have to consider on every value. If it's income property, that would be the dominant factor that we would look at, the income that property produces, which is generally a business property. You know, vacant land obviously would just be a market analysis of those that have sold that are comparable in that area. And then you also have a cost approach, but that doesn't usually end up as the final value because that'll be adjusted based on the market. Mm-hmm. So we have to come to a final answer of what we feel that property's worth, keeping in mind it's always based on January 1st, but we're using the prior 12 months market activity.
Mm-hmm.
So these notices that went out in August are already 8 months late, and it's based on information from the prior 12 months. And that can cause some confusion with the public.
Okay. And maybe this goes without saying, but as we continue to emerge from the recession and property values are presumably on the rise, has that been the trend in recent years?
The trend has been – it was most evident this year. It started a little bit last year. In most areas of the county, we are seeing increases in values, but those are you can see a decrease as well. It all depends on, as Mike will tell you, location. It's generally what the determinant factor is.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Hagan, when we spoke last week, you told me that in the last 10 years, thousands of trim notice appeals have been filed or contested. But, given that there's, as you said, 685,000 individual parcels.
Just in Lee County.
We can say by and large the property appraiser's office gets it right. They're mostly correct here.
I have to agree with that, John. Ken's office, and as most property appraisers, do an excellent job. They've got a tough job, as Ken said, a tremendous number of parcels and really a very limited time period to assess those. The key thing to understand about Florida is we're an annual reassessment state. So the property appraiser has to come up with a brand new value each and every year. Now, it may or may not change, but each year and this year as of January 1, 2013, they've got to come up with a new value. So by and large, I think they do a very good job. I think by and large, as Ken indicated, because that January 1, 2013 market value is based upon prior year's transactions, there's always going to be some lag time in value. And typically in an appreciating market, which we are now at least in residential, most definitely in an appreciating market, I believe by and large property appraisers' 2013 residential values will be conservative. And I entirely agree with Ken. This annual trim notice, which goes out each year, really does put the property appraiser's office and their work under scrutiny. It really provides excellent due process. Due process simply means notice. That trim notice is the notice, and an opportunity for a hearing, which is the Value Adjustment Board petitioning process. So I think that a good job is done, but occasionally there are over-assessments. Probably the properties that we look at, and my own personal philosophy is we don't want to burden the property appraiser or the system or waste our clients' time and money unless we see an issue. Probably one out of 10 properties that we're approached with, we will actually file a petition.
Oh, wow. So it's really even when folks are coming to you looking for representation, you're not going to take up a case and, as you said, waste people's time if you just truly see that, no, this is correct and you're not going to win if you go and contest it.
Exactly. And that's that philosophy is not necessarily shared by all property tax representatives who may just get so busy and they're just going to automatically file on anything that comes in the door. But we like to try to do kind of a quick and dirty, so to speak, review and come up with an initial opinion. Is this value supportable? Is it not? If it's properly assessed, let's not waste anyone's time.
I will have to say Mike's one of the better ones. Yeah. We've had some interesting – it's become a cottage industry in some areas in the whole country and Florida as well. I mean we've had couple companies that got into the tax rep business. One of them hired Hulk Hogan as their spokesperson.
Really?
Yes.
And,
no relation to me, by the way. My name's Hagen.
And those were ripoffs. And then 2 years ago, we had a firm that opened up satellite offices around the country. And here at Lee County, Equitax, I think was the name of them, they filed like 267 petitions, never showed up at the hearings, walked away with the people's money around $60,000.
Wow.
We haven't found them yet. So there are – and I do mean this when I say Mike's one of the good ones. He will honor what he says here, that they'll look at it first and not take something that they think is a waste of their time or the taxpayers. But I always ask the taxpayer in this process, give us the courtesy to call us first. Let us try to explain how we arrived at it. And if you have that concern, then I say call somebody, you know, mm-hmm. because it gets a hearing before an independent appraiser, not somebody that works in my office, works in private industry, and they're actually hired by the clerk of the court. Our office isn't allowed to get involved in once the petition is filed other than providing information back and forth, but we don't control the petition process.
So who does sit on that that evaluation board then?
Good question. Every year the clerk of the court advertises, and I think the requirements in the past have been like 5 years in the business. If it's having to do with value, they have to have a recognized designation. If it's a legal question, which Mike gets involved in sometimes, in agricultural exemptions or homestead, et cetera, that becomes a legal question. And then they have hired attorneys to mm-hmm. sit in those judgments as well.
And, John, an important thing to understand about this appeal process, and Ken gave a good synopsis of the hearing officer end of it, but each county in Florida has what is called a value adjustment board. It's a statutory creation, and it consists of two county commissioners, two citizen members, and one school board member. So the board itself, and this is how it works in Lee County and typically throughout the bigger counties in Florida, hires magistrates. The magistrates conduct the hearings. They make recommendations. Should the assessment be upheld? Should it be reduced? And then the board itself will meet and approve or disapprove those recommendations. And typically they rubber stamp them because they weren't there. They're going to rely on the magistrates that they hired.
Gotcha. Well, we are speaking this morning with Fort Myers-based real estate attorney Mike Hagen, along with Lee County property appraiser Ken Wilkinson in studio. With trim notices out to Southwest Florida property owners, we're exploring what goes into calculating a property's assessed value and how property owners could go about disputing that assessment. Do you have an idea? Any questions, call 1-800-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Comment on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or send email to GulfCoastLive@WGCU.org. And, you know, interesting kind of going back to this idea of almost predatory real estate attorney practices in terms of taking on cases, like you said, just cases they know that aren't going to win, but they're still just collecting clients' money. Is something else maybe people should consider that even if they have a legitimate case, just the amount of representation, that financial resource might just not make it worth it, the amount of money they would save?
Well, that's exactly right. And certainly I believe that there is a certain threshold below which it is not cost effective to hire someone like myself. And interestingly, in terms of who does this type of work, property tax appeal and property tax reviews, a lot of people are surprised to find that in Florida, you don't have to be an attorney. You don't have to be a real estate broker or salesperson. You don't have to be an appraiser. There are people out there that are not either of those three that are representing property owners. Personally, I disagree with that. I don't believe that typically someone without those type of credentials or experience are properly qualified, but that's the law as it stands right now. But certainly, John, I would agree that if you're below a certain threshold, by all means, an owner who is concerned about their assessment should take Ken up on his offer, come in to the property appraiser's office for an informal conference. That informal conference, the way it's supposed to work, and by the way, it can take place anytime during the year up until the end of that trim period, which, by the way, the petitioning deadline in Lee County is Monday, September 16th. But the informal conference means the owner comes in and talks to the appraiser and says, hey, here's my information. Here's what I believe the property to be worth. The property appraiser will provide their support for their valuation. And I highly believe in that process. I think it's extremely constructive. And I will say that one of the things that I have found in dealing with the Lee County property appraiser, and I had the pleasure of working for Ken as his in-house attorney for 10 years. I left 10 years ago, and I've been representing property owners since then, is there, by and large, is a sense of humility throughout that office. I mean, it's – I can tell you when I've had my work scrutinized, that's not necessarily a comfortable feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody really likes being in the hot seat like that. Property appraiser's office deals with it each and every year. But I think they do it, by and large, very gracefully, and they there is an openness to valid basis for reduction. Now, you know, quite frankly, a lot of people, as Ken said, really their argument is with the tax. It's not with the assessment.
Sure.
But I've had many informal conferences with the property appraiser, and I've we've come to terms on reductions where it, we agree that it's warranted.
I would add that a lot of the good things about the process is there are occasions and. During the whole year, it doesn't have to be just trim. Trim is a legal window. But during the year, we'll have opportunities where a taxpayer will come in, and if it's a physical error, like if we have somebody with 2,000 square feet and they only have 1,000, that's obviously we're wrong. Mm-hmm. And we have the authority to change it on the spot with a verification,
sure.
Which we can often do with our technology, actually through the aerials. We have some phenomenal technology in our office now. Probably, I'm bragging, but the best of any assessment jurisdiction I've ever run across.
Wait, so you can just look at the aerial photos and then confirm?
We have some technology, and we get annual photos, and we get them they're angled. So you have 45-degree angles. You can actually, in the aerials, walk around the structures and see, and you can overlay from the permitting file of what you know, has been reconstructed or changed from the prior year, and it's a way that we are able to check the accuracy of our data without having to always go out physically. You know, those were laws we were able to change in Tallahassee. If you have the kind of sophistication we have, there's many – they're called desktop reviews. You can actually – and we physically view every property within 5 years. But with our technology, the law has given us the ability to do it through the aerials. Cool. As well, a new thing that I came out with this year, it just came out of the minds of one of our people, you know, with all these technology and these phones, these apps and everything, that if you don't like the picture we have out on the internet of your home, send us your picture.
Oh, all
just
right.
From the curb at the house, we have it programmed. So only accept it. You know, we don't want people in it. We don't want driver's license, you know, plates in it. So if you don't like the picture, maybe you're trying to get ready to sell it and you've had it painted since we've had the last picture, you can go ahead and take it from the curb, send it to us, and we'll accept it if it fits our criteria.
That'd be good.
It's a fantastic idea. It came out of somebody's mind. It's saving the taxpayer a ton of money.
I had a friend of mine up north who had gotten caught in his county property appraiser's picture picking up his newspaper in his bathrobe when they took the picture, and he wanted that one removed.
I hate it when that happens.
We've had a couple interesting calls.
Sure. And when it comes to trim notice appeals, do you find it's more common among commercial properties or residential properties? What's the trend there?
Well, you know, what I find to be interesting, you know, our focus of our firm is commercial property tax appeals, shopping centers, marinas, hotels, offices, large tracts of land. Over the years, we will do some residential. But again, as you indicated earlier, most residential is not cost effective, and typically it's easier to assess a home than it is a commercial property. So property appraisers' accuracy tends to be high on residential. But what I'm seeing this year, and I'm actually a little surprised by it, is that because the residential market is now on an upswing, whereas the commercial market is still in a funk, starting to improve. I think it's certainly most would agree it's bottomed, but it's improving very gradually. We are getting a lot more calls from upscale residential million-dollar-plus homes this year than we are commercial. Hmm. I think by and large this year, what we're hearing from our commercial clients is they're satisfied with their assessment. The property appraiser has factored in the downturn in the market, and therefore most of them are satisfied. But it's more the upscale residential, I believe, because of the substantial increases in value. Not necessarily the substantial increases in assessments, but certainly the very active residential market.
And you have other things that will be in play. Mike's correct about commercial always follows what residential does.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taking a little longer to recover the way residential is now recovering, and I would agree with that. But you have other factors that will play in that actually goes more to the tax side. If the taxing authorities, now that some values are going up in some of their jurisdictions, are not rolling back the millage, which compensates for an increase in value, it's the new millage that would raise the same money as the prior year, adjusting for the increase in value. Not many will follow that because it's found money, let's say, in a sense.
Sure.
So that, with the combination of values going up, we get more inquiries as well. And the higher-end properties, obviously, because it will show a greater increase in taxes if they're not lowering the millage to compensate for the increase or leave it the same or in some cases raising it, then we get more calls relative to that, what's happening out there in that kind of a market. More it's the tax market, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
And there are some substantial millage rate increases this year. Cape Coral is looking at, from what I understand, a substantial increase. There's another one of the millage districts. It's one of the smaller ones that literally is up 50%. So after several years of very flat millage rates, you know, all of a sudden these type of increases certainly have an impact.
Oh, so I imagine you'd probably get more calls then when things like that happen because people are going, wait a minute, this must be a mistake, but it's not about the property's value.
That's usually when I give a commercial for Save Our Homes because that has helped a lot of residential people in our state, and I'm proud of it because I'm the author.
Well, hear it.
Yeah, there you go. Now, in Florida, Mike knows he was with me, you know, we did pass a constitutional amendment in Florida. The citizens had to do it because government was the only one that didn't want it because they saw it as less taxes.
Right.
We saw it as a tax savings. But in Florida this year, single-family residents, because the consumer price index is 1.7%, generally it could go up 3%, which means if your property went up 7% in the market, the appraisers in Florida would have to limit the taxable increase this year to 1.7 because that's the CPI number comes out of Atlanta that Florida lives under. So that's helped on single-family residents. As well, we were able to in 08 that just came recently into effect to where non-homestead properties, that's anything that's not homestead, a second home, a vacation home, a business, vacant property, it can't go up after the base year more than 10% a year. So it's really intended, and it's worked in my opinion. Of course, I'm prejudiced. I was involved in both those things. It's brought some more accountability to the spending side, I think.
Okay.
And it's caused the taxing authorities to think twice before they raise a millage. But, you know, it's all part of one big formula, but there's parts of it.
I was looking around online, and this wasn't the Lee County Property Appraiser's website I saw it on, but I was reading something that seemed to indicate that for a commercial property or an income-producing property, that can sometimes be a factor in what the property appraiser estimates. Is that true?
I think what you're talking about is the income approach to value.
Okay.
If our staff is analyzing income property, we're going to request from the owners of all the income properties, which you could say maybe four units or more that are rented is a category.
Mm-hmm.
And then we subdivide them into Class A buildings, B, and apartments and hotels, et cetera. But we send out a letter every year requesting from there, which is confidential under the statutes in our hands. We can't give it to your competition. But we need that information so that we can come up with our what's called our cap rates of the different types of income property. And Mike will tell you a cap rate fluctuating 1%, 2% can make a big difference in value in property. But we still live in a mass appraisal system. You know, like I say, you know, 685,000 properties. Yeah. You have to do them all every year. You can't do each one individually every year. You could not get the job done. So we have to rely on masses of data that we get in and massage and come up with cap rates for different types of income property and then apply it back out in the in the tax roll that way. Mm-hmm. But you, anybody who buys a business, mm-hmm. They're not generally necessarily buying the structure that's important to their business, particularly if it's already fitted to where they don't have to retrofit it for their type of business, or the land as much. It's what that building and land together as a business produces an income. So the appraiser, and Mike would do the same thing if he was to come against that value, you analyze what that income stream is. So you come up with value based on the income.
And do you still see issues, I would think particularly in the Cape Coral area, regarding home values that maybe have that defective drywall, the Chinese drywall, things like that?
Yeah. You know, let me give you a real quick story. I don't want to monopolize all this, but I've always found it interesting. People have asked me, you know, Lee County, Florida, had more Chinese drywall than China. We actually had more defective and people would ask me why. And it took me a few weeks to figure it out. Well, the reason was Charlie hit in August of 2004. Mm. We ran out of domestic drywall in August of 2004. Mm-hmm. That's when they started buying Chinese drywall. And that's why Lee County, we had over, I think it was 2,400 somewhere like that. But we had 36,000 structures in the Cape and the islands that were damaged. And then they were repaired with Chinese drywall. So of those that were, we had the highest percentage that were filed because of its toxic effects. And we've gotten legislation, we the property appraisers, to take those buildings to zero. Now they have to 2017 to repair it, or even if they don't, we will put it back on the tax roll because that gave them plenty of time to get it done.
Right. And you know, although the economy is improving, you know, and we know that unemployment has been going down, but the last couple of months it's kind of stayed stagnant statewide. And there are still folks out there who, you know, might just be struggling to find work or get by. They own a home, but you know, are just barely making the mortgage and might not feel they can pay what their tax is assessed at. Is there any kind of appeal for that? Not necessarily that the valuation's wrong, but some sort of hardship.
Yes, in the sense that – now, that would be administered by Larry Hart's office, the tax collector. But you can go on like quarterly, I believe it is, payments. There are things – and I don't like to get too much into it because I have so much on my plate and I don't want to give any false information. But the tax collector, there are some kinds of programs that can help in that circumstance.
You know. And I would just add that, you know, beyond that quarterly payment system, which certainly is available – the law is pretty clear that really, unfortunately, hardship is not a basis to get a property tax reduction. So we've Ken and I have both heard it and seen it before. An owner comes in, pleads hardship, pleads difficulty making payments. That's taxes. That does not allow them to obtain an assessment reduction.
Well, and as you mentioned, folks –
it's a tough part of the job.
Yeah. And as you'd mentioned, folks here in Lee County, you know, have just until the 16th, just next Monday, to really file that appeal if they do want to do that. What sort of information would you tell folks that they really need to pay attention to on that trip?
Well, like I said initially, I'll say it this way. Before calling Mike, call us.
Yes.
I agree.
And because sometimes there's an explanation there. And at other times, they do have some information that we weren't aware of. And with that information – we can, if it's you know, objective, we can make adjustments right then.
Like you
there's
said,
occasions we will tell them to go ahead and file a petition because it's a little subjective, which will get them a place within that 25 days, and then we have a couple of months to study it deeper. There could be issues like a sewer plant that was built down maybe half mile away, and we think we've recognized the impact on value based on the sales of similar properties that have that same effect. Mm-hmm. It's an obsolescence type thing. But we may not recognize it as much as the taxpayer would like. Mm-hmm. So in situations like that, it's subjective, but we can't agree. You know, we're bound to stand by the value. But at the same time, I would encourage them, go ahead and file a petition. We may be able to dig further and find other information that would support your argument. Because we don't have a dog in a fight in one respect.
Sure.
It
sure.
doesn't take money out of my budget.
Right.
It might take less that the taxi authorities will have. But that's, you know, the way the system works.
And I would agree with that, John. I think at this late date, since September 16th is the drop-dead date for filing that petition, and by the way, it has to actually be received by that date, not just postmarked.
Oh, okay.
This isn't the like filing a federal income tax return where you just have to have it postmarked by April 15th. It has to be received by the clerk of court by September 16th. I think at this point, any owner that is concerned to preserve their rights should petition. And the important thing to remember is a petition can always be canceled out. It can always be withdrawn. And that's something that, in fact, frequently happens in this system is someone will initially file and at some point they'll withdraw. I venture to say that over 50% of the petitions that are filed are withdrawn prior to hearing. But another little point I would make in terms of important things to be thinking about during this last minute time frame, if an owner has purchased a property in calendar year 2012 and it's an REO sale, that is a bank-owned property that they've purchased, not a foreclosure sale. That's different. That's the courthouse steps auction. But if the bank has taken it back and the current owner purchased it from the bank, or if it was a short sale purchase and either of those sale prices exceed their current value, that's something that to look closely at. I know Ken and I have talked about this, but in calendar year 2012, something like 25% of the residential sales were either REO sales or short sales. Mm. I personally believe that those sales should be reviewed, and in many cases they constitute market value.
And I agree.
Sometimes, you know, I've seen differing opinions among different property appraisers. But if any time an owner has paid more, has paid an amount and their assessment exceeds that amount, that's something to look very closely at.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There are some other things going on in the marketplace. Sure. We used to call it flipping. Now we call it flopping.
Yes.
Where a real estate agent, and I won't name any because I don't know him personally, that may be dealing with an out-of-state bank and say, you know, if you list this with me for $100,000, I'll have it sold in a couple of weeks. If you want, you know, I can get $150,000, but it might take 6 months. He gets the listing for $100,000, taps his buddy on the shoulder, says, "We got one." He gets the sale for $100,000. They already had the sale for $150,000. Be careful who you deal with.
Right.
And people are looking at this. So what we do, so we don't want to hurt the tax roll by overvaluing somebody or under.
Sure.
Is that we have a program that identifies a sale. And then if the same property sells within a certain amount of time, it makes us suspicious. Most of the time we'll find that that was a good sale, the first one and the second one, in the sense that they bought the first one, put in some money, improved it, and then resold it.
Right.
And there's a lot of that going on. And they're cash buys, so those are good sales.
Yeah.
But you would throw out the first one because the second one's closer to the date
to the
of
actual,
assessment.
Right.
And it is more market than the first one. So you have to – we have identified over a couple thousand of those every year.
Sure. Well, that is all the time we have this morning, gentlemen. But thank you, Ken and Mike, for joining us.
It always goes fast when you're having fun.
Thank you, John. Enjoyed it, Ken.
Thanks.
Ken Wilkinson is Lee County's property appraiser, and Mike Hagan is a real estate attorney with Hagan Law Firm here in Fort Myers. We're taking a short break, but when we return, WGCU's Amy Tardiff sits down with PBS NewsHour senior correspondent Ray Suarez for a look at his book, Latino Americans, the 500-year legacy that shaped a nation. That's just ahead. You're listening to WGCU, NPR for Southwest Florida.